Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, September 5th.
Good morning.
Hi, Rachel. I don't say hi, Rachel, anymore because she laughs. So I'll say hello, Rachel, instead.
Hi, Rachel. I feel like that's my new nickname.
Yeah, hi, Rachel. There you go. You know, it's very appropriate.
It's not just a nickname. It's a state of mind and reputation, all right?
There you go. You know, it's like people say, you know how on Facebook they're like actor Sam Hassan or something, or like...
What would mine be?
Or like coach or something. People like put their name,
put
the title. Like, I don't care that you're an actor and it shouldn't be in your name.
Mm-hmm.
But with you, it would be, hi, Rachel.
Rachel.
You can't argue with that one.
It's a state of mind.
So we're coming back from a Labor Day weekend.
Did you have a good Labor Day?
I had a good Labor Day weekend. I enjoyed the fact that there was not a lot of traffic in town for the most part.
Because there was Burning Man's.
There was Burning Man's. But I don't think it's because of Burning Man. I mean, it's because people left town for the Labor Day weekend.
Well, I think it was a combo. I feel like this is like one of the last like great...
The
holidays start.
That's
really
true.
Roll in.
But Burning Man just wrapped up, and for those of you who don't know, it's a big gathering in the desert, and you know what I forgot is when I started looking at pictures again, I remembered this is like a Mad Max theme.
Oh,
you know
what
I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they build all kinds of funny stuff. Mm-hmm. They wear like dust-proof shit, you know.
Right. And did you hear someone died?
Yeah.
He jumped into the fire.
The fire. I mean, that is like unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And I get that. I guess that's kind of marred the whole thing, you know. And that's unfortunate.
You mean to tell me a bunch of people in the desert doing drugs, something bad happened?
Right?
What?
Yeah, in the heat.
What are the odds?
I know. People are crazy for going there, man. I mean, I was invited.
I said that over the weekend. I said Burning Man is a place where rich people go to pay to be homeless for a week in the desert. I don't understand.
Absolutely, you know.
It's just terrible.
Dust everywhere and heat. And my friends just came back. I haven't had a chance to hear stories yet. But I'm sure I'm going to have some stories.
I just think I'm all about gatherings. I'm all about, I'm all about that. But just I'm not about the business of it. And it's not like what it used to be, like Woodstock back in the day, where it was just about the artists, about the music, about the whole purpose of just people gathering together. Now it's just how do we profit off of, rich people, rich young kids, and take advantage of them.
That's true, yeah. But, I mean, the venue I don't get. But then again, maybe that's the only place they could do it. And when you see pictures from an airplane, it looks like a little town.
Mm.
That's how it looks, I mean, it's not just random. They have, tracts and stuff and whatever. But overall...
Interesting.
Yeah, it sounds interesting. It's like a bucket
I mean, I'm not a square. I've gone to music festivals. I just don't like the whole, not everyone can come because you don't have this amount of money and you're not an influence. It's very... It's more... It's less about community and more about exclusivity.
I don't know. It is expensive, Rachel.
Have you ever seen...
But what the concerts are very expensive,
Right, that's what I was going to say. Have you ever seen exactly how much people spend... If you don't live in California, I've read an article about how much people will spend just to get to Coachella, the whole thing is thousands upon thousands of dollars if you don't... Because it's hard to get to Coachella. You have to rent a car. You can't just fly there.
Right.
You have to fly in and then rent a car. And then you have to find a place to stay.
Right.
And
hotels,
they hike up those
stuff,
prices.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no wonder I see people are like, I got my tickets for Coachella 2019. I'm like, dude, we haven't even had the next Coachella. My goodness.
I know. That amazes me that people plan so far ahead. It's like I can't do that. Even a trip, So, by the way, I might be going out of town Friday, so we may not have a show Friday.
What?
Well, you'll have a long weekend because I'm going up to see my son probably in San Francisco.
Okay.
So I miss him, and I think I'm going to go
Good
and
for
see
you.
Him. Yeah, so that should be cool. And but other than that, so for me, it's like I can plan 2-3 days ahead, but that's about it.
Right.
So for people that plan years in advance, I salute them. But I don't know where the fuck I'm going to be tomorrow. How do I know where I'm going to be 2 years from now, right? So I don't know.
I love when people ask me, like, what am I doing for lunch, like, 2 weeks from now?
Yeah, right.
I'm like, I don't even know if I'm going to make it 2 weeks from now. I can't commit to a lunch, an entire meal.
I know. But...
what else is going on?
Well, my daughter lost her cat. I don't even want to tell you what happened to it.
Oh,
it's too... but it's like, what I don't understand is, why do people with small animals let them outside the house? You don't... Those animals can't fend for themselves. You know, when you have, like, animals out there, like coyotes and shit... Okay, enough said.
Mean, yeah, for sure. You know, I already have the visual of what is going.
Yeah, I know. I don't
want
to get people, but I didn't see it either, but it's probably not a good thought.
Mm-mm.
But I'm just saying this because I want to warn people.
What was the kitty's name?
Marley.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
Yeah, today's episode is R.I.P. dedicated to Marley.
Right. But my daughter is a mess. She's hysterical and everything. And she's 27.
You might have to get her another cat.
Yeah. Well, not me. She's going to get one, I'm sure. But she's always had animals dying and getting another one right away. So, you know, I mean, because animals eventually die.
Maybe we should start her off with something less alive.
Okay.
A plant, perhaps.
Okay. All right. We do have a guest. We'll bring her on in just a second. You brought another friend, Rachel, and we love your friends here. They always outdo each other. So we're looking forward to that.
She's going to be the best we've had. They're all good, but she's great.
Awesome. I just wanted to bring up that Elon Musk over the weekend was tweeting about World War III. He's talking about killer robots, you know, and what he says is, if we program machines to launch nuclear war, then, you know.
Well, I mean, there's always that. There is, I mean, with television and movies, it always seems like what they put out there oftentimes does, you know, happen, or it's at least, you know, it's all part of our culture and society. But that's what they're saying, that if we give intelligence to these robots, that they're going to start forming their own language, and then
next thing we know they're
going to want voting rights and separate bathrooms and you know, their own water fountains,
and they'll turn us into batteries,
then
like
we're
going
to have to legalize
Matrix.
Gay robot marriage,
right?
I mean,
you know, it's like unbelievable what's going to happen with this artificial
and
intelligence.
And then people are going to want to marry robots, and it's like, dude, marriage is reserved for humans only. Male, female, I mean, it's too much.
Yeah, I know. They already have real-looking, human-looking robots.
Have you seen the sex robots?
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
I mean, listen, if you want to have sex with a robot, that's not for... I'm not going to judge you. As long as you're not hurting anyone.
Yeah,
As long as you're not...
Nobody needs to judge
you. As long as the robot doesn't... You know, as long as there's consensual... I'm sure it's it's electric.
Yeah, whatever it is, I don't know. Well, let's bring in our guest now, because she's eager to join in the conversation. There's no reason to make her suffer any longer. Rachel, tell us who you brought in this morning.
Okay, I'm super excited because our guest today, she's amazing. She's like, it's Tuesday, but she's my woman crush Wednesday. I've been following, she's a comedian. She does more than comedy. But I followed her on Twitter for a while, and I just think she's brilliant. And
why did you follow her? What made you decide?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how I found you. Maybe through Ken or something.
Maybe.
I saw, but like, I just saw a lot of her tweets, and I thought, wow, she's hilarious. She speaks her mind. You know, it's hard to find that.
So that's good. So you would say, what's her name?
Her name is Bridget.
Fetisi.
Mm-hmm. Like, kind of like fantasy, but Fetisi.
It's a word.
Bridget Fetisi.
Hi.
Okay, hi. Welcome to the show, Bridget.
I have been to Burning Man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
When? Is it awesome?
When did you go?
2012.
Really?
It was the, I think it was 2012. It was the rites of passage year.
Was it just as expensive then as it is now?
I was sitting here listening to you guys, and I'm like, I'm so spoiled. I was gifted tickets. At last minute, somebody had two extra tickets. I was already packing up my apartment for a 2 year just walkabout around the world. I didn't have any plans. I just knew I needed to get out of LA. And someone gifted me tickets, and it seemed like, I mean, people spend a year getting ready for this.
Right.
Basically, Burning Man, they spend 6 months recovering and 6 months getting ready.
Getting ready,
and
right.
I never wanted to go because I live in LA and the burners are here, and I would always hear these, you know, like, come to this party, and it's the, you know, pre-burn, whatever, like, coming off the plot. I'd seen the community, and out of context, it is an annoying, weird, hard to understand community. And then I got ready and I went and we camped. We didn't have like a camper. It was definitely roughing it.
Oh my God.
And that heat, what, 150 degrees?
I like the heat. It's a dry heat.
Dry heat, my
Vegas,
ass.
Vegas is, you know?
I mean, we had it so hot out here last week, I couldn't stand outside for 2 minutes.
It was quite muggy though for LA last week. I wouldn't say it was.
But it was pretty hot. But I mean, we've had hot, dry days here, you know?
Definitely.
Especially here in the valley.
Dust.
And I've lived in Vegas. It's the dust, but it's the heat as well. And I thought, there's no way I'm going to enjoy myself.
Right.
Especially, and they brought a camper, my friends.
Wow.
You know, so
you
I could have been in the air.
You have to go. I have to say that it
really?
Is.
But that's is a long time. The, it's like 10 days, right?
I went for 5 days, the last 5 days. I was only planning on going for two. My friend who brought me, she left after two. She couldn't deal with the beats all night and the music. She just didn't want to stay. I ended up staying. And there's all these different types of people who go to, they have their whole lingo. And apparently it was like I just took to it like a fish to water. It just was. I'm always naked all the time. So I was like, I can just be naked all day long. This is amazing. So,
yeah, hilarious.
And you ride bikes everywhere. And the art is amazing. The art, it's, I just always say, like, I can't imagine what it would be like if you suddenly got blasted there from another country and walked out onto the, it's like another
because
planet.
It's all trading, you know, like you don't, it's right.
And I didn't
like
believe
wave,
in that either.
Right.
I was very cynical about that. And everyone's like, it's just like whatever you need. It just shows up. It like just appears like whatever you need. And I said, okay, simmer down. I don't buy that. But one morning I woke up and I said, I would kill for an omelet. And no joke, this guy walked up and he said, oh, I made you guys all omelets. And I was no, it's true.
Wow.
Anything you want can appear.
It was
at the
weird.
Man.
There was a couple of times where I would say something like, oh, I'm killing for a watermelon, and someone would just hand me a watermelon.
Here, I brought my own watermelon farm.
It is that weird. There is something weird. And I definitely am an East Coast skeptic who's lived on the West Coast, and I taught yoga for years, so I've been thoroughly indoctrinated with the hippie mindset. I've worked in the industry, the cannabis industry. And when you sit around that crowd long enough, I always say every season I go work there just to like get the download on the new conspiracy theories, the newest. So I've been exposed to it, but I'm cynical about it. And from the East Coast, we just
where from the East Coast are you from?
I was born in New York City, and then I moved every year and a half. So it's a long story, but basically my family's all in Rhode Island.
Okay.
So cynical East Coast kind of take everyone down a peg and none of that like hippie loving crap.
Love it.
But I did see some, I was a little bit reformed when I was there. The burn that they did, I'm not surprised that happened this weekend at all.
Really?
I'm surprised it doesn't happen every year.
Right.
Yeah. Just the drugs, so many drugs.
Right.
And so many.
And there's tens of thousands of people there, right?
I mean, like 70,000. Yeah.
That's insane.
Every year they're allowed to expand only by a certain percentage by the people who run the playa. And it's they're great for the community. I mean, they basically fund the school there. It's a desert. You know, there's not much money where they are.
Right.
So it is good to have. Same with even Coachella. Yeah. Say what you will about these festivals. They benefit these desert communities that would otherwise be impoverished, essentially.
At least that there's that, you know, rather than them throwing it in a big city where, you know, who knows.
They
that,
used to
know.
In San Francisco, and it got too big.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then they had to move out, essentially. And then they found that area.
And then I read that you couldn't bring cannabis there because it's federal land.
Where?
And to Burning Man.
Mm-hmm.
To Burning Man. They said officially you can't bring it.
At all. But you can bring, you know, other things.
Probably, right? Yeah. I don't know. It's crazy with that, you know. But so I wanted to ask you. So you feel comfortable with nudity and everything? You would like feel comfortable walking around nude there and stuff?
Oh,
is
yeah.
Is that what you were saying?
I mean, yeah, that's part of the culture there. I don't know that. I feel like I'll probably end up on one of those nudist colonies when I'm in my 50s.
And we were just talking about it, right? But I want to ask you, and that's why I brought this up, Rachel, because I want to ask you, do you separate between nudity and sex, or do you think it's the same thing?
This is an interesting conversation that I got into with a man I dated who was extremely Christian, which I found out afterwards. Whoa. And we would get into these very heated debates about boobs, for instance, because he said, I used to post my boobs a lot on Twitter.
Really?
Not so much anymore.
What do you get out of it, though?
I was doing it mostly because it was annoying. I found that people reacted. It's like, I don't know. My sister and I were joking about this the other day because her sons just love being annoying. Uh-huh. And she looked at me and she said, oh, it appears being annoying is genetic.
Because
we used to love just annoying people. And it's not so much like doing bad things. It's mischievous.
Yeah,
and
right.
So there was a part of me, yes, I was raised, I'm Catholic. I'm not practicing Catholic, but I was raised Catholic. And part of it was just, I think, me trying to throw off the shackles of repression that
There you go. Rachel can relate to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like liberating.
I wonder why parents do that. And then the kids rebel, you know?
It's not even the parents. I was in private Catholic school.
No, but they put you there. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The parents put you in that school in the first place.
Well, I mean, so it's just like anything else. Like when you tell someone not to, you know, it makes you, the curiosity doesn't go away. In fact, it increases, you know, the desire to want to rebel, I think.
But I think it's that religion that kids don't want to be so limited in what they can do, and that's what religion, those very religious places do to you, whether it's Jewish or Catholic or whatever.
100%.
You know, you go to the school and they raise you like, you can't do this, you'll be punished for this, you'll do this, and you grow up and you go, fuck this, you know, I want to do all that.
Well, now especially, like, whereas before social media and the internet and everything, I feel like it was a little bit easier for schools and parents to have control. I mean, because where else did kids get nudity? Playboy magazine, you know, they had to buy magazines. Now it's everywhere. Kids don't even need to find it. It finds them. So it's like, you know, kids, you got to have a conversation about nudity and sex in a way that kind of, I don't know. I just feel like it needs to happen.
It does earlier. Mm-hmm. And to answer your question, to your point, I'm not really sure about the line, because there's this whole thing that came up the other day about, it was on Twitter and somebody posted an article that, or someone posted a screenshot that some big influencer guy, he writes because he has a little geek girl or something, and he was reading this book about puberty, and it said a woman's boobs are for two reasons, and it's like giving milk and then for being attractive, and there was something else. It was not worded well. And then all the feminists were like, of course this is written from the male gaze, and like, how are boobs, you know, you can't conceive of like boobs existing without men enjoying them. The truth is that boobs did evolve for, they're one of the weird things about our bodies is that they do have a function, but they also did evolve, like peacock feathers. They are to attract the opposite sex. So
that could possibly be it. You know?
That was always his argument.
Hardwired.
I don't think sex and nudity are the same thing, because obviously you don't even need to be nude to have sex. I just think that with nudity comes
the arousal,
exactly.
Yeah.
and the tempt, that's what I was saying to you. I think nudity is beautiful and can be tasteful and can not, I think there's a way to do nudity without sexualizing it, but there's always going to be people who are going to sexualize it. anyway.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. But when you go to a nudist camp where they call themselves naturists or something,
there's definitely sex going on.
That's a different, yeah.
No, but that's what I mean. I mean, because when you said no, because when you said I walk around nude all the time, and I thought, well, so you'd be comfortable in a nudist camp. But that's what I'm saying. In nudist camps, they don't look at it sexually. They're just like,
I think there's definitely an element for that. Why else would they want to be doing it?
Well, no, I think they're
because they want to feel free, and they don't. It's an experimenting in a society without clothes.
But of course, and I also think, but you're like, but you said either, that the people aren't having sex at these places. I'm like, they absolutely are.
No. But okay. Well, look, people have sex every day, everywhere. But it's not like it's an orgy type thing. You know what I'm saying?
You're telling me an orgies don't happen at nudist colonies.
I don't think they're made for that, and I don't think
I don't think they go to have an orgy. But
I don't think there's orgies. I'm sure it happens. Like nude beaches and stuff, they don't.
It's a lifestyle. There. So yeah. Naturalism is nudism and nudity. Those places, that is a lifestyle. It's a choice, and I'm sure that yes, there like orgies happen in LA. Yeah. Orgies happen everywhere, but. I agree with you. They weren't designed to have orgies. It's not like they're
it's
just
not
living.
For the sex part, no. I don't. But
think,
I hear you.
Right. I think they're of course because they have parties for that. There are sex parties that you know they don't need to you know mask it with like a nude party. You know, like a nude high tea.
Exactly. And you said lifestyle. There's also people that are swingers, and that's their lifestyle.
For sure,
it works for them. You
right.
Know?
Right.
So yeah, it's about how you live, and you obviously want to find a partner that is along the same lines and believes the same thing.
I always joke that I'll end up there, but we were recently in Joshua Tree, my roommate and I, and there are these two guys were visiting, and it was a holiday weekend, and they hadn't booked a hotel in advance, and so the only place they could find a room was this nudist colony, and they were telling us about checking in, and the guy just checked them in, just balls hanging out, and they were just like, this is too much, too weird, and they were saying there were pictures, they were saying it was over the top, and I really need to find this place, because I'd love to interview
that
some
would be
of them,
so
yeah,
funny.
Just go stay and write about it.
Right.
Just like if you could vlog it, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know. Yeah, I doubt you could vlog
You'd have to bleep it out, but like someone, they did this, there was this like MTV, like True Life, my parents run a nudist colony, and it was from the kids' perspective of growing up with parents who run these type of facilities, and how like he was actually really conservative compared like because of the environment
that's
he
what happens
in.
To those kids
he was like I don't want to be nude ever you know what I mean he was like
I do stand up about this about all these kids who grew up in these like no boundaries environments that I met when I was on a lot of these farms and whatnot and they all are like I'm going to college I'm getting a 9-to-5 I'm gonna get 5 degrees I'm going into I'm gonna join the army you know they go the it's like
they
any
crave
kid rebelling
the normalcy.
Yeah they're
rebelling
like,
to be normal. That makes sense. I mean, it's kind of like
structure.
Right.
They want structure.
It's kind of like, no wonder I'm so far from my parents, you know, like I'm the complete opposite of them.
Right.
It makes sense.
That's
like
true.
A reaction.
Maybe it is to find the happy middle, right?
Yeah, And besides, you know, I don't feel we belong to our parents. I mean, they raise us. We come here alone and we leave alone.
Mm-hmm.
This world, right? Mm-hmm. This life. And our parents, I think, are just the vessels to deliver us here, to guide us and stuff. But once you're on your own, they should bless you for being who you are, you know, and being just that person.
Tell that
to
the parents.
We successfully raised these kids and now let them be.
Yeah. And that's also, I mean, that's also a cultural thing too. Like, I feel like Israelis, you know, and certain, and American, we're different cultures would just never go for that. Like in Asian culture, like they need to be, you know, like even in, just very strict, have a path, you know,
that's
or even
true.
Like following, you know, if your parents are doctors and their grandparents were doctors or whatever, there's that expectation within the family culture of whatever. But, I think you can definitely tell kids who have parents who have like supported their dreams and their hopes versus kids who, you know, parents maybe haven't, you know.
And what's that expression? You're only as happy as your least happy, your like most depressed kid. There's a saying.
Is that true?
Yeah. There's a saying I've heard just from because parents ultimately that it's you're true. Only as happy
ultimately
as yours.
It's true. Your parents want you to do great and be amazing, but at the end of the day, they really just want you to be happy, because if you're not happy, then they're not going to be happy.
Right.
You know what
That's
I mean?
The like, bottom line, really. And it's not just for the kids, for ourselves, too. If we're happy, then everything's fine.
How many kids do you have?
I have two in their 20s.
Okay.
And, yeah, I mean, they're pretty much going on their own now and everything, but... But what I'm saying is, you realize you don't own them. You know,
right.
I mean, you know, when a kid reaches the 20s, I mean, they don't even feel like your kid anymore.
Right,
they're a grown up. You know, they have start having their own families and stuff. You know, so it's weird. You know, but that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta treat kids with respect, and kids have to treat their parents with respect, because we're essentially going through a ride together, through a journey together, but each one has his own life, you know? I mean, look how different, like, brothers and sisters are from each other, you know? Just because you're in the same family doesn't mean your fate is the same.
There's a play, and I can't, it's, the name of it is blanking. I'm blanking on the name, and it's... Oh, I wish I could remember, but there's a great line in it, and she says, "You don't raise kids, you raise cattle. Kids just happen." And there is a certain truth to that. Yeah. There's some, I'll remember it. It's a play, it's a weird dark play about like JFK. I don't remember what it is. Something dark.
But you remember that. So
it stuck out to me because I'm the oldest of five, and we're all so different. My siblings and I are completely different. Really? And luckily, we were raised in a... I have a roommate and her family. They talk all day. It's a different culture. They're just constantly...
Which culture? Where is she?
She's Persian. Oh, nice. And so they're constantly just like... Talking. Oh, all day. Everything has to be cleared by everyone. You
and
know,
yelling,
like,
right? Like
not
they talk
yelling.
Loud? No,
no. No.
Oh, okay, because Israelis talk very loud. People think we shout and fight with each other. Go ahead.
And my family's Irish Catholic, huge family. Like I said, I'm the oldest of five. My dad's one of 10. But everybody, we talk probably once every 2 weeks. Everyone's very independent. We were raised to be just independent.
That's cool. Yeah, that's how it needs to be.
It's not so. I think there was a lot of maybe more codependency when we were younger and all enmeshed in one another's lives and living together. But as we've all grown older, I love seeing how different all their lives are all unfolding.
It's, right, right. And that's a large family, you know. I mean, five kids is a lot. Right?
It's a lot for now.
Yeah. Do you have to fight for your place in the family?
I was the oldest. It's interesting because people always call me out on eating fast, and it's just from being in a big. And when other people eat fast, I ask them, "Were you from a big family?" And always the answer is yes, because you're just fighting for your food.
That's so funny.
If you want seconds, you finish first.
Really?
And growing up with 26 first cousins, that's even multiplied. So
it's a large family.
I think we were all really close in age. My mom had all of us. She had five kids under the age of seven, which is bonkers. I mean,
that's crazy.
Close.
That's
so my
a lot.
Yeah,
that's
it's a lot.
Four are you
girls
from
and a boy.
An Italian background or something?
I do have Italian, but my dad is Irish and a little bit of, I guess, German, and there's some rationality in there. And then my mom's French and Italian.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Okay, yeah,
cool.
I'm feisty.
Yeah, right? No, I was just wondering about the big families and stuff, you know, but because Italians tend to do them. But it's also
Irish
Europeans. Yeah, yeah,
Irish have
in
tons of kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's true.
That's very,
especially
very
Irish Catholic.
Irish Catholic,
yeah,
they just bleed.
I went to an Irish Catholic I was telling her before, I went to three different colleges. I went to three different high schools, and I started off at a fresh Irish Catholic.
Yeah.
Or it was Roman Catholic. It was Roman Catholic. I mean, there was a ton of Irish, you know.
Yeah,
there.
They have big families.
Yeah.
I mean, my brother's best friend, their last name is Hurd, and they have herds of children. They were one of six. They each have, between the two of the brothers, they have 10 kids. It's crazy. Which in this day and age, to have six kids,
that's
is
nuts.
Insane.
Even to have three kids. Well, they were saying
that's $6 million.
Because, yeah. Well, they were saying because Kate Middleton is pregnant again, and in Britain, if you have a third kid, you don't get the tax. There's like a law or something there. Like a lot of people don't get the privilege to have three children because the government won't
support
the tax. They won't give them a tax break on the third kid.
Yeah.
Or something.
Is that true?
But you know what? It makes sense. So I'll tell you why. Because I've heard stories here. Okay. And more than once I've heard this, that people will say, some women in our society will say, I'll have another kid because I can get more money from the government that way.
And this is the independent.
Yeah. While you celebrate the third royal baby, remember all the women in Britain who aren't allowed a third child. And it's not that they're not allowed. It's just it gets very expensive because the government, for some reason, or like, I guess like you get tax. Like,
what
you
is
can
it?
Get,
does she explain that?
Because think about
they said
it,
something
you know?
About.
I don't know anything about this.
Well, but this does happen here as far as what I'm trying to say. So people feel like there's no limit. I'll have another kid. And the government, the state, becomes the father.
In April this year, the government reformed child tax credits, introducing what is commonly referred to as the rape clause. From now on, a woman will be unable to claim tax credits for any child after her first two unless she can demonstrate conception occurred as a result of a sexual act, which she didn't consent to. This is just in... apparently just in... I mean, I'm going to have to follow up on this because this is the independent, but...
Right. But look, I mean, if you try to control the size of the population, it makes sense to discourage
people. Right, but their numbers are going down. Right. So, and that...
But who knows why? I mean, but obviously they must have a reason.
Right. You know? I'm just saying that I read a lot about how there's a lot of whinging about the birth rate, the numbers, the population decreasing, generally in Western civilization.
But, I think it's larger than
Western.
Ever.
Well, in the European countries, essentially, particularly white, all of the populations are kind of in decline. Mm. And there's a whole thing about how the 12 billionth person will never be born because essentially as you get pulled up and out of higher into the you know, out of the third world into the second world, you generally the birth rate goes down. So the better off you're doing, the more education, usually you see people the
with
birth rate
kids.
going down.
Exactly, you know. And I just think that we do have a population explosion. I mean, you can see that some places it's just that they can't sustain themselves.
I also was thinking the other day, I'm like,
so much
where
competition
are they gonna,
with everything. Think about it.
Well, where are they going to bury all of us once cemeteries get full? I'm like, do I reserve my plot right now, like just so I can be next and I. Family.
But do you really think
but
we're
like,
going to run out?
Do
of
I really want to be buried next to them too? Like,
if we haven't run out by now,
yeah. No, we have plenty of desert here.
We
can
bury just
bury
us all.
Go
in Burning
to Rome.
Man.
It's they just build up. Yeah, you know?
We'll have parking garages full of cemeteries. You know, like you can just ride the elevator up to see your loved one.
Right.
Just blast me
it's
into
possible.
Space.
I know,
right?
Down. Plant me into a tree. I want to be planted into a marijuana tree so my ancestors can smoke me.
This is the high Rachel strand.
Not your ancestors, you mean the people after you.
I mean but I'm not having kids, so I don't know how that'll even happen.
Yeah. Wait, you don't want kids?
Here's my thought on children. All right,
not having kids.
Here's my thought.
Yeah,
Sam knows this, but here's my thought on having children.
Tell us everything
today. I think having kids is hard, right? It's a full time. I think teachers and parents don't get enough.
They
don't get paid enough. You know, there's just not enough support for that, right? So for me, I'm not anywhere near financially stable where I need to be. I'm 30 years old. Like, who knows what will happen in 5 years? But I just don't know about raising a kid in today's world with like
fair enough
social media competition, having to pay. It's so expensive. Like you said, a child is at least $1 million. Like a lot of my friends and family, I mean, I'm sure with you, a lot of your friends are already married on their third kid and you're like, what the fuck, you know, or second marriage or whatever. And I'm like, how do they do it? But a lot of my friends who have kids, like their parents help them. And I just would never expect that from them. Right. And also, I think the education in this country is fucked up. There's just so much to have to worry about when you're responsible for another human, you know,
right,
and I'm
right,
just not,
right.
I'm not selfless enough to do that.
I think, so I agree. I'm 38. I've gone through all of these mental, you know, my dad, when I went home 2 weeks ago, had the conversation about whether I've thought about freezing my eggs or not. And I was like, I do stand up about this already. And I said to him, I feel like that's like freezing a chicken after it's been in like the fridge for 7 days. And my dad's like, so you've obviously thought about this. I didn't realize you had a whole chicken metaphor for it.
That's a good one.
But he, you know, he brings up a good point. I would have probably had to do it at 31 or 32. That's the, generally like, the fresh eggs, the fresh right. chicken that's like 2 days old.
At the same time, there you can still do it now and you can still get pregnant at 40. They just don't promote
I
it.
I know. They don't. And I mean,
it's not just your health and the baby's health, but it's also you don't have the same amount of energy to run after a child at 40 like you have at 21 or right. 25 when you have a kid.
Well, this is the first time in the history of America basically where the average age of a first time having a first time kid later. Is in the 30s.
Yeah.
For the first time, which is right. crazy. Well, people, it's been in the 20s.
I feel like there's like the half of the people we knew who got married and young and did the thing like right after college. They got a job and then they found their whatever and then they got married, you know? And then there's the rest of us that are like, okay, well, we don't come from trust funds. We don't have rich grandparents, you know, we don't have right. that financial support or like we just, you know, weren't going to place ourselves in that situation, God willing, where we have to rely on, you know, government. It's so expensive to have a kid, right. even just to raise a kid, but to physically even just have the kid.
Just to freeze your eggs is expensive. Right, and that's exactly. what I was kind of with you where I said, if I can't afford to do that, why would I right. have a kid? Mm-hmm. But that's right. just more.
But it's good
for
to be realistic, I think, about whether you can afford one or right. not, you know, and what kind of a parent you'll be.
Although I do worry, and I think my father's worry is that it is something that if you regret not doing, it's a deep regret
and
for a woman.
It's too late, and it's too
right.
late.
Yeah. And so it is a fair question, and it is something that you just do when you're a parent. You know, all these questions, like, how do I become selfless? You just become
right.
selfless.
Right, exactly. There's
you
never
just
the right
do it.
Time. Rachel.
Yeah, there's never the right
oh,
time.
Oh, I'm not looking for that. I just hope that time never comes. Like, it's not, I just like
then don't
you know
make
I mean?
It you, make it not come. And I mean, if your life is okay without
but also
having
at the
child,
same time, I don't even think like even if I had all the money in the world, like I just don't want to be a mom. I don't want that responsibility. That's a job.
Yeah.
I don't even like stick at a job know. For you know a consistent. You know, I don't even stay in relationship. You know, like
right,
I have
right.
to be. I've never had a pet like
but
on my
let
own.
Let me ask
you
this: like, what if you like suddenly got pregnant? Okay, uh-huh. just a
oh god,
hypothetical.
You're gonna ask me a Schmish Marshman question?
No. It's not
What's
a
Schmish Marshman.
It's a yeah. I don't want to say the word.
Yeah. I just got that. A little slow.
No, I'm just going to ask, if you got pregnant, would you, I mean, then you'd have to accept the fact you're a mother, and you'd learn to deal with it.
I would not have to accept that fact.
Why?
Because I can get a Schmish Morshman.
Oh, so is that what you would get?
If I wanted
to. So you wouldn't
to,
have one?
I don't,
oh,
well,
Jesus.
Here's the thing.
This
I'm not saying,
okay,
just, I'm not
true.
Saying,
turn.
No, here's no, what I, no, 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 here's right. what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying.
Holy
I,
shit.
I'm not, I'm pro-choice. If women want to have a kid or not have a kid, whatever. That's not for the government to decide. You know, like that, you know, if you don't want to have it or whatever. I don't know. If I were to get pregnant, it would have to, like, I would have to really see where I'm at in my life. Like, I can tell you right now, if I was pregnant right now, I'd be like, I'm not ready to have a kid. I don't want to have this kid.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to do it right now.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
Red
we weren't going to get into that.
Yeah.
I know.
I say,
we're going to move on to the next one because we didn't plan on having any heavy conversations.
This got real deep.
Shit got real, real fast there. Like, if you
I'm
got
like,
pregnant,
if I got
like,
pregnant
oh,
right
shit.
Now, Sam, let's just say this.
No, but I really, I innocently wanted to tell her that if you did have a child that you didn't expect, you would learn
you would
to
find
be
a way.
Good
right. Of course. I mean, find a way. But we're just going to hope that that doesn't come. You know, we're just gonna
We're
knocking
That's
on
why
the wood.
You do things to prevent having to make that decision because it's a horrible decision to have to make.
Exactly.
And
That's true.
Exactly. And I don't want to make that decision.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to tell people they can't make that decision. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I hear you.
There are some people who just should not have kids. Or shouldn't be parents.
No, that's true.
And I think that there's not
they
enough.
Shouldn't be.
There's not enough. Like we have more strict.
I don't know where we are.
We have more strict. Like
can we talk about
to
Burning
adopt
Man again?
Exactly. Yeah. It's you.
Well, let's talk about sex. Then she would say a thing.
It's harder to adopt a dog than to have a kid in this country. They put you through more tests and interviews to adopt a dog here.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. You see what I have to deal with every day.
Yeah. I mean, that's I will say that telling someone who is ready to have a kid or not is the opposite side of telling someone who can't have a kid.
Right.
The other side of pro-choice is not you can't regulate who can have a kid
right.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
See, I like you. Rachel said that you're more conservative than
no,
she
I
is.
No, I hate fucking labels. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, people can't just be who they are, but she's got different
when she asked me on yesterday. She said I know we have like completely opposing political views, and I was like, I don't think
we have,
doesn't really matter, you know what I'm saying? I mean, if you have a connection with a person and stuff, fuck the politics.
I don't
believe how people got divorced or canceled relationships over the elections last.
It's causing huge problems.
It is.
Well, that's what I was saying to her, is that I feel that I'm on a bit of a journey, a political journey.
Yeah.
Some people are on a
spiritual
journey.
Time, right?
I'm on a political journey. And maybe it is just getting older. I don't know.
I'm telling you, you get more conservative as you get older.
Well, that's so funny.
Really,
well, it's funny.
Because I was like Rachel.
It's funny you guys say that because my mom, who has been a Republican my entire life, I mean, she fiscally... I mean, socially, she's very gay marriage, whatever, doesn't care. But fiscally, she's always been more conservative. I'm sure she has other like parts. But she became a Democrat this year.
Right, but she became for a different reason, because of the president.
But that's what I'm saying, is like, as much as people get older, they tend to maybe become more conservative. There's also the other side of it, too, where people who've been conservative their whole lives are seeing a shift that they don't identify with.
That does happen.
I think that this is the election in particular has pushed people into the middle from both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people, you know, I see a lot of conservatives who were never Trumps, and there are a lot of like myself, for instance, liberals who have been pushed to the middle, because if you aren't just like Trump is Hitler, then you're pro Trump, which is not a fair place to put anybody in. And my argument is that you're losing voters like me, or you're pushing us away or alienating us, because you aren't that black or white thinking leaves no room.
Right.
And there's no more votes to have on the far left. We are as far left as we can possibly go. There's no more votes over there. You need to come to the middle and try and pull some of these independent thinkers, people who are maybe supportive of Bernie.
Who just don't identify strictly with either. I mean, there's a bunch of
But that's us. People who are in the middle, and you're not getting any more far left. So if you're going to say this is where we stand, if you are not doubling down and your Viva la Resistance and all that stuff, you're going to alienate the Democrats will never win an election ever again. Ever.
Yeah.
I think every 8 years it's going to change, though, you know, because people just have enough. I think 8 years is enough to have one party.
There's never going to be another election again.
We don't even know.
We could have a Russian guy in our next election just show up out of nowhere, you know?
And the demographics change. Our demographics of our country, there's a massive population of people that's going to die in the next 10 years.
It's beyond that. We also have
You mean the boomers.
They're all going to start dying.
But our voting, the way we vote in this country is fucked up. We don't know much about it. There's no, like, we don't really have a lot of accountability. You know what I mean? Like, the way that it's done, how they just, like, how they capture votes, you know. I don't really know if that's...
Do you know a better system in the
world?
I'm
not saying I know a better system. I'm just thinking there needs to be more transparency and more accountability as far as, like... voting in this country.
Well, yeah, I think, many people complain about the way things are going, and I'm going, we're the best fucking country in the world.
Are.
You know, we really can be proud of a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And really, enough putting us down.
There is a great article.
It's too much,
of course. No. I think, of course, we live in the greatest country in the world, but other countries look at us and see what we're doing and judge us upon that. And I think that...
Why do we care about other countries so much? It's always about the other countries, right?
Of course. But who cares what they think about us? But for some reason, whenever something happens in certain parts of the world, America feels like we need to butt in and be like the fucking big brother. And it's like, dude, we need to focus on our country.
Right.
And take care of the problems that we have going on before we go into another country and invade and fucking start a war. Like, that's not well, but helpful.
Those are two separate things, you know what I'm saying? But let's leave politics. We only have a few minutes left, guys.
And
we
want to fast.
Yeah, I know. And if you're just joining us, why did you show. Yeah, why did you wait so fucking long? It's the end of the show. But we are talking to Bridget.
Fantasy,
right?
Yeah.
F-A?
P-H-E-T-A-S-Y.
It's like fantasy and fetish in one.
Okay,
it's fantasy. Long story. I'll come on again and explain. That's what
okay,
I made
but
up.
If I had it in front of me, which I didn't do stupidly,
that's okay.
Before the show started, then, you know. But that's okay. That's why you're here, right? To
yeah.
correct us on that.
That is.
Yeah. So, how did you end up in LA? You started on the East Coast. You said you like the East Coast. What are you doing here? How long have you been here?
So I moved here when I was 19 the first time. And then I was here for 2 years, moved back east. We call those the dark years, my friends and I. Because I got married to a Russian. I got divorced.
There
yes,
you go.
I was married.
To a Russian? Straight off the boat?
Off the boat. He was Belarusian, actually. I usually say Russian because Americans don't know that Belarus is a country, but... Mm-hmm. Yes, he was Belarusian, which is one of the last dictatorships in Europe, basically.
Bloc,
yeah, Lukashenko is nuts, their leader. He basically, we got married for love, but had he been American, I don't know that I would have. There was always just this pressure hanging over our relationship, and it seemed like we loved each other. So yeah. We got married for love. And
there's
and
always that pressure of the marriage, right? Because they have to stay here and all this shit,
yeah.
right?
And then, and he would have been, it's not like he would have been just, oh, back to Russia. He would have been thrown in prison had he gone back to Belarus yeah. because you have to go into the army, and he didn't. And
yeah, so you felt it was up to you really to save him.
Well, not to save him, but I didn't need to be, it was very selfish. I was worried that had he been deported, I would spend the rest of my life wondering if my love was in some Belarusian prison.
Right.
Mm. Now, even if at the moment of we eloped, it was really fun. Even if that moment I was like, maybe I was 23. I was very young to be getting married. And if you know me at all, people are like, you were married?
That
you know,
awesome.
They don't see that in my cards. But it was actually a good experience. I was proper married, you know, wife and cooked and did the whole marriage
Hells
thing.
Yeah.
And then I felt like I was in a prison that I put myself in.
A Russian prison.
And then I was like, I'm in a Belarusian prison.
One of you is going to have to go away.
Holy
you know what
shit.
I mean?
I ended up in the Belarusian prison. No, he and I are very good friends still. He's remarried. He has 2 kids. He's
nice.
Very happy.
Is he
yeah.
here in America?
Yeah. Okay, we cool. just went on different paths. I started going on. I was always trying to get back here to... I'm a writer, so I write for Playboy and other outlets. And I just wanted to always... I came out here to act. That's what I have the most training in. Someone dared me to do stand-up comedy, so in 2010, I started doing that. It's just... Basically, I just want to create. I want to be creative and whatever.
Yeah.
Now I have a podcast. I mean, whatever. I love LA because it does attract some... It gets a lot of shit, but it attracts some of the most brilliantly creative people
right. and talented
in their field.
Yeah, everybody comes here. That's the thing.
It's the best place for collaboration. And
oh, it's amazing. You
There's
never
a lot of
know.
Competition, but a lot of collaboration.
Oh, yeah. And it is fiercely competitive, but it's because... And when I traveled around the world, I kept thinking, okay, I'm going to leave LA. I'll go to Sydney and live, and I'll do comedy there. And my friend, who's a manager here, he's like, and guess where you're going to end up, Bridget?
Back
if you're successful, guess where? And then when I was talking to all these people who are creatives, they're all trying to get here.
Right.
And I'm already here. So I go through this motion every year. I'm like, I'm leaving LA.
Where else would we go?
Exactly. I'm here, man. I'm in it.
That's awesome.
I'm in deep.
We love to have you, Bridget.
Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. And you're welcome back anytime.
Thank you.
We're
going
to have you come back. And
an open invitation. There's a lot more to talk about.
Thank you.
And maybe one day we will devote a show to politics and stuff. We'll bring maybe another leftist and another.
I don't think there's room for that. I think one of
why
these.
Don't we find, no, why don't
one
we find
of each.
A conservative?
That's what I'm saying. We'll get one.
Like an actual conservative.
Well, you seem more conservative than.
Yeah, but she's still. Has her like
I've been red pilled
I know, but I'm pretty much the same way, you know. I'm in like
You're an independent thinker.
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't say you guys are so... Because, like, you come in here and you see the shit that's going on in the news, and there's stuff that you're I'm disgusted with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. And that's what I'm saying. I'm more like an... I tell it like it is, the way I see it, you know?
Yeah.
And when I see the country being destroyed like this, I mean, I know why, but I can't stop it, and I can't fucking justify it.
But this is where I have faith. I mean, I have faith. We're not big enough to do that. You know, who all these petty arguments people get into, what, and then I see a lot of people who are religious in one respect or another, and it's like, where's your faith? I have faith that something, and it sounds stupid, but I have faith that there's, because I always say, can you imagine, okay, just thought experiment 1 minute. What would have happened had he not won? And now this guy still has the millions of followers, the base, and no accountability.
Right.
No one holding him in check. He's saying whatever he wants
to say.
No,
there's definitely a shift.
What would that look like
right now? There is good coming from this. There's a shift. There's change. There's stuff that needed to happen. And I think that there is good that is going to come from this.
Yeah, we got like a big shakeup, and we probably needed that.
Yeah,
you can't lance a boil until it comes to the surface. Right. All of this shit was lurking right below the surface.
This has been happening for years.
It's not new.
Guys, we got to cut off. We're totally out of time. Bridget, how can people find you?
Oh, at Bridget Phetasy on Twitter. I live there.
And how do you spell your last name again?
Phetasy.
There you go. And that's not too difficult, folks. Thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Thank you, Rachel, as always.
And we'll see everybody tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.